In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Boys and girls, the Comic Culture Radio Show, the show of the champions, the local comic book shop, which, by the way, is a prerequisite for any kids getting gifts. They have to listen to the...
Absolutely.
Right. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU Radio, McMaster Radio, the award-winning CFMU.
And we're
podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor and Santa's Area Rep.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College, Head Elf.
Right.
The Santa's Village.
Yes. And as always, we are your NORAD Santa trackers.
Spreading magic dust across the world of comic books.
Yes, indeed.
Magic dust. I love
Chris,
that magic dust.
Chris, hey, listen, it's a great show.
Yes.
We have a jam-packed room today.
We've got a studio audience that's just been jam-packed today.
We have our producer.
Yes.
Anthony Falcone.
Yes.
Is not here today. But
I know,
have
it's
an
unfortunate.
Active producer. Marty Berthelmer.
Marty Berthelmer, who's also, you know, he is perspiring.
Yes.
He's producer extraordinaire because really he's not only producing our show, but he's producing a live play in Toronto.
A live play, Les Cages Folies. Marty?
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks. I don't know what that is in French, but I am perspiring. The heat lamps are on me, the
yes.
lights are on me.
The atmosphere is real in here.
I feel it.
Good. Well, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks,
Marty.
Guys.
And we have our studio audience. They can chime in from the back.
Hey, you know what's great
about
you know what's great about the show is didn't you say something about poems or something like that?
Yeah, today is a special show. It's our Christmas show.
Yes, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone. It's our Christmas show, and we've asked the studio audience to if we come up into the studio audience later to come up with a Christmas poem.
Oh, nice.
A comic. Themed.
Oh, well, that's,
Christmas
that's
poem.
Much different. Much more difficult.
Now,
yes,
I know,
yes.
Chris, you and I talked about this before.
Yes.
And we've written some Christmas poems.
Yes, yes.
And I know Marty, the producer, has written some Christmas poems. And our young buck, Andrew Roebuck.
Yes, he is
a
also
sound engineer,
one.
Has
yes.
written a Christmas
yeah.
poem.
So
and I sent out some emails today.
Yeah,
to
and
some,
we got some.
What would you call these people? Important people?
Illuminati?
Illuminati
amongst the comic book listeners.
Yeah,
yes.
And a few have been generous enough to email us.
Yeah, that's amazing,
their,
eh?
Yeah. So through the show, we are going to read Christmas
poetry.
Poetry.
Yes. With a comic book theme, of course.
With a comic book theme,
yes,
of course.
I
but
like it.
Hey, listen, it's not going to get in the way of our show.
No.
It's going to augment
absolutely.
Our show.
It's going to enhance right? the show.
Enhance the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Put a little Christmas spirit into the show.
Christmas spirit. All right.
Christmas
spirit. Should we start the show with a poem?
Maybe that might be a good idea.
All right. So how do you want to start this? Do you want to say your poem first? Do you want me to say mine?
Why don't we I know you've written two
I've
poems,
written two,
Chris,
yes.
Okay, so we will start the show
okay.
with Chris's first poem.
Oh, okay, all right.
So this is your poem.
This is my oh boy. Yeah.
Christmas poem.
Yes.
With a
it's just about
theme.
It's just about a little it, well, you know, it's
and
just,
you've written
it's,
this.
I wrote this, yes.
Right, okay.
It's just a nice little ditty about a little inhuman named Black Bolt.
Go ahead.
Poor little king named Black Bolt was walking his kingdom one day when he peered along by the roadside where his buddy Lockjaw did lay. He wanted to ask him a question, but his voice could never be heard, for the Terrigen Mists had decided his powerful voice was assured. So he thought poor Lockjaw was hungry, platefuls of food he did bring, but the four-legged creature just whined, and so Black Bolt decided to sing. His whisper was quiet and soft, 'twas for humans, but not for humans, but in humans, but only for Lockjaw to hear. And he smiled at last when he heard Black Bolt sing, "It's time for Christmas cheer."
Amen.
Chris. Yeah,
amen.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Did you
hey,
like
listen,
that?
That is yes, beautiful. Yes. Well yes. done.
Can
yes.
I can
well
I bring a topic to you know eye level here?
Sure.
So that entire poem, you know, remove the last verse, and it's not a Christmas poem.
Sure, it is. It's all
of course
about Christmas.
It is.
There
oh,
it is.
Oh, okay. The thing that okay. concerns me most is that the short one?
No, that is the long one.
Oh, that's
that
the long one. Oh, beautifully
memoirs
done.
Are coming yeah, up later. Right.
Hey, Chris, well written.
Thank you.
Done.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Hey, and it already I feel the Christmas spirit injected into the show.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right. Well, you know what?
Let's start.
Let's start the show.
What do we usually start the show?
Well, first of all, let's new comics.
Right.
And of course, new comics this week is brought to you by Santa's Workshop and your local comic book shop, working together to bring happiness and comic books to all.
Yes, very well. Very well said, Chris.
Yes. All right.
All right. What do you have picked for us for
well,
the news
this
week?
Let's start off with Marvel. We've got Captain America number 2 from the Marvel Now comics. This is, of course, by Rick Remender and John Romita Jr., also with Klaus Janson doing the inking. And this continues on with Captain America. And, of course, this is the long-haired blonde Captain America because he was off in some strange world for a little while. You know what? Again, it's... It's one of those comics where I love Captain America, but wow, it's just a weird take on the whole thing. It's interesting.
Right. I like the throwback to the red, white, and blue Captain America kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
logo
yeah.
on the front.
Yeah.
And you're right. He kind of looks like Thor.
A little
front.
Bit, eh? With
yeah.
long blonde
What's
locks.
Up with that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All right. Captain America yeah. number 2 from Marvel Now at your local comic book shop. Today. You can pick it up before
yeah.
Christmas.
Yes. So I only decided to do one. In the past few weeks, I've been doing like multiple Marvels.
Yeah, I've been bored.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Most people have. They've been writing in and letting me know. So today, for the DC section, I decided to go with a new one, number 1 of 6. It's a 6-issue limited series of JSA Liberty Files, The Whistling Skull. Now, it's The Big Dirt Nap, Chapter 1. And this is a comic by Tony Harris and B. Clay Moore. Now, this is not your average JSA story. This takes place in multiple different countries, and it's got like zombies. I don't even know how to describe it. It's got dead people. It's got Dr. Midnight in it.
I yeah. see dead people.
Yeah, it's just a weird looking book, and it's not your typical JSA book at all. And I love it.
Wow. All right, so yeah, it has a funky cover. That's for
it
sure.
looks like an image book.
Yeah,
like doesn't
yeah,
it? Like right. it looks like something that you know the guy that does The Goon should be drawing.
Yeah, you're right. That would be a Dark Horse book.
Dark Horse.
That's
right, sorry.
That's what I'm here. That's what I'm here for, yeah, Chris, to yeah. correct you.
Thank you.
All right. So what is this? The JSA, the Liberty Files.
Yeah.
Whistling Walrus.
No. Whistling Walrus. No.
That's a local bar.
That's a local pub.
Right.
Yeah.
Whistling Skull.
Whistling Skull.
Number 1 of 6 from DC.
Yeah.
Check that out at your local comic book shop today.
Perfect. All right. Now, for those of you, now, I know a lot of our listeners are, you know, of, you know.
Challenge?
Woo! Yeah! That's me!
It's because they can't reach the knob and they have right. they have to listen to our show.
Right.
Turn
no,
it on.
A lot of our listeners are probably around the, you know, the 30 to 40 to 50 year old.
60 to 70.
60s. Anyways.
Maybe even 10.
Maybe even 10 years old. But some of them may even remember the old MacGyver TV show.
My God,
and
yeah.
did you know, you probably didn't even know that there's actually a MacGyver comic book.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. So the MacGyver comic book, MacGyver number 3, and this is, it's
is it like
astounding.
A Lifetime Life self-help book?
I think so, yeah. Uh-huh. In case you need to replace a light bulb, just yeah. get a stick of
Does
gum
it have
and,
any duct tape anywhere in there?
You know, it should come with duct tape.
Right, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Anyways, here we go. We got MacGyver number 3. And, of course, there's a plane crash and there's people fighting each other. And I don't know. There's some sort of contraption being
built. Chris, it ain't a comic until there's a plane crash.
Well, that's right.
And
that's
until
right.
there's people fighting each other.
That's right. A Fugitive Gauntlet, part 3 of 5 for MacGyver.
All right. So MacGyver, that's by Zlotoff.
Yeah. That's one of your home countrymen, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. I think he's down more east.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And north. That's MacGyver number 3 from Image Comics. Fugitive Gauntlet, part 3 of 5. Available at your local comic book shop today.
Perfect.
Jump in. And, of course, Chris, because it's our Christmas special.
Yes.
And because we have so much poetry. It's the poetry show.
It is. We need a little.
We had to cut the new this week to 3.
Yeah.
and my monologue here down to less than 5 minutes.
Good luck.
and just to get to all the poetry. So please head into your local comic book shop and check out the, what would you call it, the plethora. The
plethora of new comics. And there's a lot that come out. Like, yeah. There's got to be like 150 or something that came out today.
Massive week.
Yeah. And you know what? Because we're having all this poetry, we got to go with something with, for music with a little, with a, you know, a cool beat to it. Little beatnik music kind of, you know, a little jazzy. So let's go with, you know, some. Of course, we're going to have an all Krantz Christmas music special here.
Oh, Santa,
we're going to go with, this one's going to be Artificial Clouds.
Chris, nothing says Christmas
like Krantz.
Like Krantz.
Nice.
And what a great, great segue into our next segment, which helped me out. What is our next
segment? Our next segment is Mailbag.
And, yeah, Mailbag.
Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Santa's Workshop and your local comic book shop.
Get
once
home.
Again. I know. If you're stuck at the in the malls and you're not too sure what to get for your chilling, you know, you got to go to your local comic book shop because Santa has already dropped off all kinds of great toys at the store.
Awesome, Chris. All right, listen, I'm going to read the Comic Culture Mailbag, and this one comes from Warren, and Warren's in Chicago, and I'm assuming he didn't put, but I'm assuming that's in Illinois.
Probably, yeah.
Right. Is it Illinois or Illinois?
Illinois. It's Illinois.
Illinois?
Yeah.
All right.
Illinois.
Hey, guys. Is Santa a Marvel guy or a DC guy? This is a hell of a question.
That's a great question. Yeah. Well, first of all, I need to know, like, as in the character Santa? Like, as in portrayed by? Like, I mean,
or
is
he read?
Or, like, what does Santa read? Does he read Marvel or DC?
That's a good point. All right, Warren. We're going to tackle this from two ends.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm going to say that... first of all, as portrayed in comic books,
yeah.
I'd
where,
say...
Where would he fit? What continuity would he fit into?
I think he's
better?
More of a Marvel guy, don't you think?
You know, it proves to me you know nothing about comics.
What is that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
I've seen Santa more often in Marvel comics than in DC comics.
No.
How do you know?
I don't
How do you know.
Know
what I've seen?
I don't know. I have to challenge you because you said something. I just have to naturally challenge
okay,
you.
Okay, well, what do you think? You think he's more DC?
Well, he's more DC because DC is way more corny. And Santa's
yeah, that's
corny.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you know, Santa's
true, yeah.
corny,
yeah.
and DC's more corny.
Okay, so if Santa was a comic book reader,
right.
would you say that he reads more DC or reads more Marvel?
Oh, you see, I would say, there's a good question. I would say...
You're wrong.
Oh, damn, I
no,
knew
okay,
it.
No, honestly, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, again, DC.
See, I think you're wrong again. I think
man.
He's more of a Marvel guy. Like, I think he would like to love to read like Iron Man and Spidey. I don't think he would want to read Batman. It's too dark for him.
Hey, you might have a point there.
Right? You know, yeah. he'd rather read yeah. about Mixel. Well, I mind you, if you read about Batman and Batmite and Mixelplex, those are kind of like elf-like creatures.
You know,
right?
I'm gonna come out from left field here.
Okay.
Is that a saying?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Is that a proper
come out from left field.
Come
sure.
out from left field.
Sure.
I'm going to say that Santa is neither.
Oh, boy.
Neither
okay.
a Marvel. I'm going to say he's a Dell guy.
You say neither.
I say neither.
Neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
Chris,
sorry.
He's yes. a Dell guy.
Why is he a Dell guy?
Well, because Dell comics are good comics.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
That
as
was
opposed,
a,
to,
Mar-
that as opposed
was a,
to Marvel
hold on,
and DC.
Hold on. No, hold on. You see.
All you,
you
Marvel and
tell,
DC listeners out there.
Hold on.
We do not represent any of the following statements.
Excuse me. Hold on. You can tell. I know the studio audience is snickering at the old man in the room.
Okay.
Okay. But being an old comic aficionado.
Right.
Dell Comics in the 50s, during the Wortham days of Comic Code Authority and stuff like that, Dell Comics had a slogan on their every comic book for their parents.
Okay. Oh.
Dell Comics are good comics.
Oh.
You know, don't fear. Okay, your children are safe reading our comics.
Okay. So then.
And Santa made very many. Very many is wrong.
Very many appearances.
Many appearances in Dell Comics. I think there was even like a Mickey Mouse Santa Parade and a Donald Duck Santa Parade and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I get it now.
So I might warrant. Warren, if I may, he may be neither nor neither.
Okay, well, that's...
All right.
Okay, point of argument, boys.
Right,
if
sorry.
The producer may have point of argument.
I forgot you're even here.
Yeah, I have to make myself...
Why are you chiming in?
Because I've come up with a very interesting concept. If you will,
oh boy.
Put yourself in the bearded man's boots, if you could, for just a moment.
I'm trying.
I believe he would respect and look forward to the DC side of things. It's more grimacing. There are more dark, corners, and there are more evil. There are more evil baddies. But you know what? He's a working Joe. He's just a working stiff. He wants the naughty list to be big because that makes his workload less. Am I not right?
Yeah, you're probably right. He could use a
year off, maybe.
Or two.
Maybe five.
All right, that's just me.
Listen,
you know what? I still think he's a Dell boy.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's lay this story to rest, and let's talk about... let's go on to our next topic. But you know what we need
to do? We have a topic?
Well, you know what we need...
Let's break it up with some
first
poetry.
Of all, we need to have a new poem. Another poem.
All right.
I think we should... Should we go into our studio audience?
Yeah, let's go into our studio audience for a poem.
Let's talk to one of our studio audience
members.
Yeah,
I'm going to go up. I'm going to take my mic here. Hold on. Take it out of this.
Okay,
I'm up in the studio audience.
That's us walking, and here we're now going to talk with...
here I am. Hey, sir, what's your name?
My name is Clark.
And Clark, where are you from?
I'm from Kansas.
Clark from Kansas, very good. Now, you prepared a poem for us for the special show?
I did. I prepared a haiku.
Oh, nice.
Excuse me?
It's a Japanese poem based.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Bless you.
Let's hear it, Clark.
Mary Jane and Aunt May wait for Spider-Man to play, for it's Christmas Day. A merry Marvel Christmas to all.
Oh, very nice. Wow. Let's get our... Yeah,
okay,
get
hold,
our,
on,
our,
hold on, hold on, hold on.
That's quite the beatnik poem you got there. Thank you very much,
very
Clark.
Very good, Clark.
My mom liked it.
Well, that was Clark from Kansas.
And
that was very good.
Yeah,
he
like
doesn't
that.
Get off the farm much.
No,
no.
All right. That's all right. Okay.
That's great. And so, Chris, help me out because I'm
discombobulated.
Yeah,
you're really
discombobulated.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're going to go to industry news. And
industry news.
Industry news is brought to you by Santa and his little elves helping comic books stay stocked. Sorry, comic book stores stay stocked throughout the entire Christmas season.
Good for Santa and his elves. Now, I know Santa and his elves helps comic book shops all across North America.
They really do.
And we want our listeners to head into comic book shops all across North America. And, you know, because you don't want those elves working all... You know elves. You know how they are.
I know.
I'm flipping them. I got blisters on my fingers.
You know who needs elves right now?
Who?
IDW needs elves.
Why is that?
Because IDW is having some serious problems with shipping and receiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and elves can take care of everything.
Yeah,
right? So My Little Pony and so you know the comic My Little Pony, of course.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So Friendship is Magic number 2, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Secret History of the Foot Clan number 1. Are both now going to be delayed because the longshoremen in Los Angeles have decided to go on strike.
Wait a minute.
What?
The longshoremen, like the guys on the docks?
Yeah, the guys on the docks. Yeah.
They're going on strike?
Apparently they're going on strike.
And they're not unloading My Little Pony?
Supposedly that's the deal, yeah.
And My Little Pony's not getting into our local
Because of
shops?
Longshoremen, you're not getting your My Little Pony.
Wow. Guys, yes. I settle that. Darn straight.
Well, yeah,
come on.
This is it, right? So, you cannot, because of that, you cannot have Friendship is Magic number 2 or the second printing of Friendship is Magic number 1.
Yeah, that's wrong. This is wrong.
Because you know what?
They should put their differences aside.
For Christmas.
And for Christmas.
Yeah.
Could you imagine those guys? Hey, Mac. No, that would be New York longshoreman, wouldn't it?
Right.
I got it all wrong.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, Mac.
Hey, Mac. Why don't we unload that crate? Hey, Pier 4, man. I got a little crate over for you. Full of my little pony. Right.
Right,
they need that stuff. The 19th was the release date for that stuff.
It was.
There's little kids waiting
for
those.
No, actually, it was December 26th. 26th? Yeah.
Okay, I take it all back.
But now it'll be coming out January the 9th.
Oh, well, hold on.
Okay,
local comic book shops needed that book for their Boxing Week special.
It really, and now, you know what? Because of that, comic book stores will be going out of business everywhere.
I hope you're happy, longshoreman.
Thanks a lot, longshoreman.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
And guys, can you just think of all the 8-year-old girls and 40-year-old men who are going to be so upset by the Turtles and My Little Pony? And don't get me wrong, I'm talking 8-year-old little girls who are looking forward to Ninja Turtles and the 40-year-old bronies looking for the My Little Pony. Do you know how many middle-aged men are going to be upset now?
I can see bronies picketing.
Yes, in their
our
in their brony shirts.
In our brony shirts. Well, listen, guys, I hope you guys I guess it's too late, right? But I wish it didn't have to be.
Well, you know what? You know? It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Really? Like, we don't need to have this at Christmas time.
Let's not let this happen next year.
All right. What we should do? Let's have before we go on to our next segment, let's have another Christmas poem.
Let's have another Christmas poem. Why don't we get our producer?
Yes, producer.
Today's producer.
Yes, absolutely.
What's his name again?
Marty Berthelmer.
Marty Berthelmer.
The name is irrelevant.
Marty.
Well, that's true, but please, can you please?
Marty, now I emailed you earlier today about the show. I told you, hey, why don't you come on the show tonight?
You told me briefly someone walked and you need someone just to be here.
Right.
Yes.
So you have a poem. It is a... a comic book themed Christmas poem.
I don't know. It's a lot of words, is what it is.
All right.
All right.
Go ahead.
All right now. maybe for those of you who don't know, Living Dead Live, Night of Living Dead Live, George Romero's play is going in Toronto. So I tried to, it was on my mind, so it touched.
Anyway, it was on your mind because,
hold on.
This has nothing to do with comics, does it?
It was on your mind because I believe you are the executive producer of that play.
Yeah, one of them, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So it was on my mind.
Okay, go ahead.
It was the first line just says it all. It was the night before the Living Dead Live, and anticipation was in the air.
Oh, boy.
Unaware of the coming zombie hordes, unable to sleep, I didn't care. My thoughts dwelled on the gifts I love so much. Magic cards, Call of Duty, Spider-Man comics, and the such. Wondering what superheroes my tree holds that Mom fought the frenzies to find. Persisting through the Big B comic lines, she truly is very kind. Mm. Suddenly I heard a groan, a moan, and a scream, so I closed my eyes and tried to remain unseen. A fierce scratching began in my closet's direction, like a mint troll inspecting action figures for imperfection. Then I felt a scraggly face gnawing at my toes, like venom. So quick as the flash, I sprung up to Hulk smash him. Little did I know it was indeed a member of the living undead. Good thing I pack heat like Deadpool. 2 shots in the head.
Nice.
I slept tight that night knowing I survived a night of the living dead. And it's a PG show, so the blood spilled was black, not red. In the morning, I raced downstairs to see what the bearded man had brought. Halo 4, Hulk hands, or perhaps a caped crusader costume, I thought. Instead, I found Pokemon sheets, My Little Pony shirts, and kitten mittens glove galore. Great gifts for sure, but Santa, I'm flipping 34.
Nicely done.
Studio audience enjoyed that.
That's good.
That was about 8 hours of my 8-hour shift of production value today, taking up for that.
Nice. So,
now, Marty, you're obviously working very hard to plug your play.
What? Could you tell that? How did you tell?
Now, can you tell us a little bit something about it? Now, you told me earlier today. Ticket sales.
Tickets actually just went on sale online at the Theater Pasmerize.
Fantastic.
On Ryerson there by Queen and Bathurst.
Okay, where do they go?
You can actually go to nightofthelivingdeadlive.com, which is our main website, and then you just click on the tickets section or even the main banner just underneath the whole headline button banner, and they will redirect you right to their online box office.
Nice. Perfect.
And the good thing is they're very friendly in keeping us up to date, and I'm... you know, I'm hitting refresh every 10 minutes to see if it, and you know what? A lot of tickets have actually gone out. I think we're up around 100 tickets so far.
Perfect. And then when did they go on sale? Yesterday, today?
Three days ago. Nice. Something like that.
Very nice.
Very good. Very good.
So you better race the undead fiends to get your
You better
tickets.
Watch out.
Absolutely.
You better not cry.
Because Night of the Living Dead is nearby.
Well, you'll cry by how great the value is.
Did you like that? I thought it was a pretty good poem I just made up.
Was that your second one?
Hey, guys.
No, it's my third. I've got one more.
Oh, okay. Let's move the ship along.
Yeah,
all right. Chris, Superman.
Help me move the ship along.
Superman, new ruling on the Superman case.
Oh, yeah.
A little while ago, like a year ago or so, Superman, the DC... sorry, okay, let me start again.
Beep, beep, beep.
Back it up a bit. So... there was a court case with Superman and who owns the character of Superman, and basically the courts found that DC owns the character.
Right.
Now, I guess they went back and there was an appeal filed and there was litigation. Now they're saying again that Superman does belong to DC. The ruling was another win for DC, and the October ruling is final. The ruling specified that the copyright termination notice served by the estate of the Joseph Schuster on November 10th, 2003 is deemed invalid and ineffective, and the rights encumbering agreements, including movie deals and the heirs' side, were invalid and unenforceable.
Wow.
So basically, the Schuster estate will get whatever they currently are getting and no more than that, right?
Right, so. Right. But I read at the bottom of it, the ruling cleared the way for an appeal.
Another appeal.
Which was filed immediately.
Right.
Now, my question to you is, like, you know, you read that language and it's strong. It's like, okay, you know, that first appeal was wrong and this is all good, but you're allowed to appeal again.
Right.
So, like, what's the point? My point is, what's the point? Like, DC has won twice.
Yeah. And they're going to win again.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm on DC's side.
Right.
Okay. But, like, you know, you and I are comic book fans, pop culture fans.
Yeah.
We want this put to bed.
Yes.
I think that Warner.
Yep.
What's his first name?
Yeah. Time Warner. Yeah.
Time Warner. He should go and you know, just give these guys a bone.
Well,
like settle it. Like, let's not have,
you know,
this
what?
Cloud hanging over Superman's head.
You're absolutely right. But only those who are comic book aficionados, who are in the know, who care about this stuff, are going to know about the cloud over the head, right? Nobody else is going to care. Like, are you kidding? You know, 99% of the population who is going to go see the Superman movie has no idea that any of this was ever in the courts. So why should Time Warner do that? Other than the fact that, hey, maybe it's Christmas and maybe they should, you know, not be so Scrooge-like.
Yeah. They should write the Schuster family a poem.
I completely agree.
And send him a check.
Yes, I completely agree.
Right.
So, you know what? Let's
should we go to another poem or to music?
No, let's go to music for a second here. And then we will cut to a poem after that. How about we go with, what am I going to go with? How about The Master Technician?
Thank you. Yeah, Chris. Scooby
you like wah, that?
Scooby Scooby wah, wah, wah. Laying those skins was Fat Freddie Flintstone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was beautiful stuff. And you know what? Krantz music is good music.
It's all about Christmas with Krantz.
It's all about Christmas with Krantz. All right, Chris. I think everybody's we're doing it's a Christmas poem show.
Yes, yes.
We're so deviating from our regular show.
Let's go back into the studio audience and we'll go to Walt.
Okay, Walt.
Right. Well, do you have your poem ready?
Yeah, I have my poem ready. I worked on it much like our producer Marty Berthelmer. I worked on it for 17 hours.
At least.
Hold on.
Well, I'm on the clock though.
All right. Here's my poem. It's been a journey of enlightenment, my sweet. For a fortnight I've hardly slept, had no will to eat. For with all of Thor's might and all of Flash's speed, I've scoured the earth for an offering befitting a queen indeed. Then I realized all of China could not produce one gift worthy of you. Yes, my beautiful vision, my scarlet witch, you know this is true. So this year I gave you a gift beyond scope and measure. I gave you my soul, which I hope you will treasure. The title of that poem is "Nice Try, Honey. Where the Hell's My Goddamn Gift?"
Good, very good, very good. I like that. That's good. That's good.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
All right. All right. All right. Let's keep on moving on with industry news. And once again, industry news is brought to you by Santa and his little elves. Also, still. Okay.
They buy the whole block.
They did, actually. They did. And they're trying to produce as many toys as possible related to comic books.
You know what? I heard, Chris. I heard. I got the latest figures. I get graphs and charts emailed to me every day and stuff. I got the latest figures, and the Santa Workshop toys are selling like hotcakes at the local comic book shops.
Right. So, yes, they are, yes.
But the elves are working overtime. And they're not like the longshoremen. They're toughing it out.
No.
And so head into your local comic book shop. There's more.
Yes. Right. Yes, absolutely, yes.
All right.
All right. Well, let's keep on going here with industry news. And so Spider-Man, you are familiar with that character.
Sure am.
So Dan Slott is the current writer for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Now, it's no big news now that the last issue that came out with Spider-Man had Doc Ock. This is a bit of a spoiler, but I will say that. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't read it yet, Doc Ock has now changed bodies with Spider-Man. So Doc Ock is now the new Spider-Man. So
really?
His longtime villain is now going to be Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
so
heavy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
People didn't like this so much that they were actually giving out death threats to Dan Slott, who is the writer of this storyline.
Really?
Yeah.
Like death threats?
Yes, death
like,
threats.
Like saying, hey,
yeah,
I'm going to kill you.
Like I'm going to kill you. Now, I don't know if they were supposed to be funny death threats. They're occurring on Twitter and on Facebook. So, you know, I don't know if they're meant to be like, you know, sorry, I'm going to kill you kind of thing. I can't believe you did that. If it was just a joke or
right.
It was actually like a, you
no,
know.
No death threats or jokes.
No. Well, and that's exactly what he said. You know what? He said, hold on, where is it here? There's no such thing as a reality check. There's no such thing as a funny death threat, right? Especially if you tag someone in it. If you think because of something happening to a fictional character that you need to type out a death threat and then send it to someone, you need help and you need to follow Twitter to figure out what's going on. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that there are actually death threats going on with all this.
Wow. I mean, what does that say? Like, okay, I'm asking you.
Yes.
What does that say about, I don't know, about society in general, about the way we, like, is this just a guy ticked off, or is this just, or is it like a symptom of
well,
that we're taking all this stuff too seriously?
You know, I think it's a bit of both. I think a guy that's a little ticked off that probably shouldn't be as ticked off as he is, because really it's just a fictional character.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, like, I can understand how he might be a little upset, but come on, like, it's just a character. I'm sure nothing is really going to happen to him in the end, right? It's just, it's crazy though. I mean, if I was Dan Slott, I'd be really upset that all this is going on right now.
Well, like, I honestly, I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess in the old, help me out with Marvel right now. There's only one Spider-Man continuity right now, isn't there, Chris? Like, there's only one Spider-Man title. Hello?
Right. No, there's two.
There's two?
Two Spider-Man.
Okay, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man, yes.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
And Avenging Spider-Man.
Okay. Because in the old days when there was like 17 different Spider-Man titles.
Right.
If you didn't like one, you just jump over to the other.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. There's Web of Spider-Man, there's Spectacular
there's
Spider-Man,
that,
Amazing
that kind
Spider-Man.
Of stuff, and that
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
stuff. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, as a Spider-Man fan myself,
yes,
I do not like the premise.
Well, you know what? It's not going to last for very long because it's the end of the storyline, you know, and you know, it's a shock. So why not have something shocking like this happen in a storyline? I mean, why not have somebody like take a character and be so crazy with it as to make it, you know, Doc Ock, right? Like, I don't see a problem with it. I think it's a great storyline. It's shocking. And I think it's a great idea.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. But certainly not worthy of a flipping death threat.
Absolutely not. Nothing is worthy of of a death threat.
Reality checks. You know what? We support the Comic Culture Radio Show supports Dan Slott, obviously, creators in general.
Yeah.
Write what you flipping want, and either you like it or you don't.
Absolutely.
If you don't like it, don't flip and buy it.
Absolutely,
that's
absolutely.
All.
Yeah, I completely agree.
You know, and where's the Christmas spirit here, people?
Well,
where is it?
You know what? Speaking of Christmas spirit, I think it's time for another poem.
Yeah, who are we going to go to now?
Let's go to let's go to the studio audience and studio audience. I'm sorry. Hello, sir. What's your name, please?
My name's Sean.
Oh, hi, Sean. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, that's great. And we asked the studio audience earlier to come up with a Christmas poem related to comic book characters. And did you get a chance to do that?
I certainly did.
Oh, would you mind reading yours on air?
I don't mind doing that, actually.
Okay. Well,
and I'm pleased that you waited and saved the best for last. I was standing here in line from the bloody beginning of the show.
Well,
you'll be hearing from my people.
Oh, well, so very, very sorry, Sean. But if you could go ahead and read your poem, that'd be great.
Very well, Chris.
All right.
Santa Claus is red. Superman's tights are blue. I wrote you this bloody poem, Walt. Buy me a gift now, too.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Very impressive.
Thank you, Sean. That's great. I appreciate that. Appreciate you coming in for that.
Wow. That's great, Stan. Thanks.
Sean.
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 Sorry.
Yeah.
Sean.
I'll absolutely kill you.
Hey, there's no need for death threats.
No need for death threats.
All
right, that's
listen,
right. We just talked about all that.
All right. All right. Chris, listen.
Let's continue on with industry news.
Let's continue on with industry news. Let's talk about something dear to our hearts.
What's that?
And that is comic book shops.
Yes.
You and I have been championing the local comic book shop for what now? 70 years? 4 years.
Yes,
on
four
this
years,
radio
yes.
show. Right.
4 years on the radio show, that's right.
On the radio
We're in our
show.
Fifth year.
In our fifth year.
Yes.
And
craziness.
We encourage all the listeners to head into their local comic book shop.
That's
support
right.
Support their local
yes.
comic book shop. Become a member of the community.
We like to champion the local comic
yeah,
book
exactly.
shop.
Exactly. And so we want to talk about those last minute people.
Well, you know what? There, Christmas is like, you know, less than a week away.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are people out there that still have not finished their Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's time that give up and just go to your local comic book shop because they have everything you need.
They do
don't
have
go to the malls.
No.
Don't go to the big box stores. Go to the local comic book shop and you continue to buy everything there.
Yeah, absolutely right. Now, Chris, at your local comic book shop,
yes.
did you know that if you go in, there are telltale signs that it's Christmas is at hand.
Right.
Yeah. And the telltale signs, if you go into your local comic book shop, you will see these telltale signs that Christmas is near.
Yes,
and I've written a little list.
Oh,
because
okay.
I have a little local comic book shop.
Get out of town. What's the name of your store?
It is called Big B
oh.
Comic Shop.
Okay, very good. All right.
Hold on. I picked up a piece of paper that was my poem.
Oh.
So now I don't have my list.
I don't have your list.
Okay, well, we should say, well, tell a joke or something.
Do you want me to tell my other poem? I can tell you that.
All right.
No, I guess not.
At your local comic book shop, you can tell it's Christmas by kids are overheard asking parents, who's Burl Ives?
It's true. It's very true.
Because, you know, comic book shops, they play that.
They play all that
Christmas
stuff.
Music.
You know what? If they had an all Bro Live station, I would listen to that.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Only the good shops play it, Walt.
Only the good shops play it. You're absolutely right. You can tell it's Christmas at your local comic book shops when you see people actually bringing statues to the counter to buy.
Nice. Yeah. Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, because the 11 months of the year that you
sit there for the longest time.
$200 for that?
You still got your Thor bust there?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm going to just keep going here. You can tell it's Christmas at your local comic book shop when you see a constant smile on the shopkeep's face.
Right,
Because he's usually counting, or she is usually counting, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yes,
right?
December
is a good month for local comic book shops. But that's why people should go in, because the other 11 months of the year, they're losing money like a sieve. They're leaking.
Yeah, right.
What
are some of the other signs of
thanks, Chris. Yeah. You can tell it's Christmas at your local comic book shop when you see that old, decrepit, and faded stand-up Santa near the front door again.
Have that, eh?
Yeah, we do, actually.
What is that, 12 years old now?
We're not the only ones.
Yeah.
That's why I wrote it. And listen, you can tell it's Christmas at your local comic book shop if the place smells like Ferrero Rocher and cognac.
True. Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. That's just my shop.
Everywhere else, it's just candy canes.
It's just candy canes, yeah. Listen, you can tell it's Christmas at your local comic shop if the sales associate is overheard on the phone saying, you'll have to call the stag shop to see if they have those, ma'am.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because you get really weird requests.
Yes, You know, dare I ask what your weirdest request is at the shop?
You know what? I won't say what some of the people I work with have got. But the funniest one I ever got is the guy. Hello, Big B Comics. Hey, you guys sell rubber chickens? And that was it. I mean, simple, but I really liked it.
Chris,
I'm not done. I know you're trying to change the subject.
I thought you were done.
But I have more.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That's just how good this skit is.
It really is. It's fantastic.
You can tell it's almost Christmas at your local comic book shop if is a grandma overheard saying to an associate, do you have that comic called Crossed? It's the top thing on my grandson's list.
Oh, boy. I don't think anybody should ever sell Crossed to a grandmother.
Yeah. You see, that's the situation you get in Christmas, right?
It's true. It's very true.
Oh, it's Crossed. Do you have Crossed?
Yeah.
Obviously, she's from Britain.
Right. Obviously. You know,
I say.
All grandmothers are from Britain.
All grandmothers are from Britain.
Yeah.
Right. So and finally, I have one more. Sorry.
Oh, that's too bad.
And you can, thanks, Chris. you can tell it's Christmas at your local comic book shop if you can hear the shopkeep saying on the phone, I'm sure she'll love that Thor hammer beer opener, pal.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Huzzah! Hey, yes, all right.
Anyway, Chris, all those gifts and more
are available at your local comic book shop.
At your local comic book shop. And we should, what are we doing now?
Let's gonna go to a quick musical interlude, and then we'll come back with another poem from our studio audience. And this is going to be the end of Skymaster.
Krantz. Yeah, you know what?
You can't go wrong with Krantz.
That is Krantz is the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. Yeah. That's right. My special gift to all of our listeners.
Thank
Krantz.
You very much, Chris. Yeah. I am very appreciative. Hey, listen, we are now getting to another poem, another comic book inspired Christmas poem.
Oh, nice. I like
and this
it.
One comes from our young buck.
Andrew Roebuck.
Andrew Roebuck, yes. Our sound engineer. Nice. Andrew has he told me he spent the whole night writing this poem.
All right.
Andrew, I would love to hear your poem.
All right, let me get right into it. It was the night before Christmas when all through New York, not a villain was stirring, not even the lizard. The criminals were hung by the lamppost with web, all because the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man had visited their Deb.
Oh, nice. I like that. Very good.
Very, very Christmassy.
Very Christmassy. I like that.
Very Christmassy and very uplifting.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, it's very good. Very
I
good.
Liked it, too.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let's keep on going on with industry news. And so DC has had the rights to a lot of pulp characters for a long time, such as Doc Savage, the Avenger, the Spirit, Rima, the Jungle Girl, Blackhawks, all that kind of stuff. Well, apparently... DC is dumping the pulps.
Yeah,
they've had enough. They've had enough.
They've had enough.
You know what? Pulps are a thing of the past. You know what? Forget it. Done with that. Been there, done that.
Let me do this one. Dun-dun-dun-dun. It's over.
Dun-dun-dun. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So
anyways,
hold on, hold on. Doc Savage.
So they're
Who
getting
else?
Rid of their
Doc Savage.
Okay, well, hold on. So they're getting rid of their first wave line of comic books are no longer going to be at
nor
DC.
Longer.
No longer going to be at DC. And characters like Doc Savage and the Avenger and the Spirit.
Yes. Yes. So the Spirit, I believe, was a Will Eisner creation.
Yes, you are correct.
Yes, and I don't believe that was a pulp per se.
No, you're right.
It was kind of a newspaper strip.
Well,
but,
this is the thing. So I'm a little confused. So it says here, characters like Doc Savage, who did not originate at DC, debuted in 2010, and it lasted for about a year. Included, but then they talk about Batman and Black Canary, They're not pulp characters either. So I'm a little confused as to
Batman kind of you can kind of trace Batman. He's pulpy,
pulpish.
Yeah, pulpish.
Sure. Yeah,
sorry.
Pulpy.
Pulpy or pulpish?
No, Batman with more pulp.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. I mean, is DC cutting his losses here? Right.
Well, okay. So hold on. What I'm confused about though, is DC getting rid of Rima, the Jungle Girl, and the Blackhawks?
They better not be.
Yeah, because everybody loves Rima.
Yeah.
Everybody loves a good Rima. Just saying.
That was a rim shot.
Hey-oh! All right. Rim shot. All right, so...
Let me have a little more eggnog.
Yeah, okay. So anyways, they're getting rid of the Spirit, apparently, and the Avenger and Doc Savage, who is the Man of Bronze, by the way, and long time in the pulps, long time in pocketbooks.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, okay.
Would you rather be, let's say,
oh boy.
Let's say the ladies got together for lunch.
Yeah, okay.
And they talked about Chris Owen. Would you rather they go, oh, Chris, he's the Man of Steel? Or, oh, Chris, he's the Man of Bronze.
That's a great question, and I'd have to say the Man of Steel.
Right.
Either way, it'd be a long conversation.
Hey-o! Thank you, Sean.
All right, Sean, chiming in from the, I guess what you call
the
it?
Studio the, audience.
Studio audience,
yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Chris, all right, fair enough. Well, listen, I read that story, too. Dynamite Entertainment is taking on some pulp characters.
Right. Well, they're doing The Shadow and that kind of thing, right?
And so I hope that they – you know, what's DC's is Dynamite's gain?
Yes.
I need a word there.
Loss.
Loss. Loss. Yeah. Thank you.
You know, a little too much eggnog now for you.
Yeah, a little ESL for
All right,
my
you know
part
what?
Two.
So let's cut to a quick musical – no, not musical interlude, a poem.
Yeah.
I have a poem.
Okay, you have
it's a very
poem?
Very quick poem here. All right.
This is your second poem.
This is my
poem.
Second poem, yes. Right. So, 'twas Christmas on Krypton. Kaboom. Hey! And that's the end of that one.
All right. I have a poem too, Chris. I'm going to be next. No, hold on. I won't be next. It will be we're going to go to our studio audience. Now I'm going to put a we paced this all wrong. See, our producer Marty Berthelmer.
He's not very good at this job.
No, he's not very good at the job at all. He's
too busy producing Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
Stuff.
Yeah. We've got too many poems
and not enough time. So we...
I need a little more time.
I need a little more time.
You guys just told me I had to sit here so that you could legally be put on air today. That's
okay.
All you told me.
Fair enough. Okay. We tell you a lot of things, Marty.
Yeah.
But listen, I sent out an email to, to the Illuminati of the comic industry.
Illuminati, yes, yes, yes. True enough. Yeah, okay.
I sent out an email to the top dogs, the big
the
brass.
The bigwigs, yes.
And some were very kind, and they sent in their email poems via, what do you call that thing when you type?
Email.
Email.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to get... rather than you and I, who are very boring, we're going to go up to the studio audience. I'm going to go up to Clark, who from Kansas, and he's going to read our producer Anthony Falcone.
Okay,
his poem.
Yeah. Okay, great.
And Anthony is in Vegas. And a quick question is, why is he in Vegas?
He's in Vegas at Christmas time.
And we're here.
Really interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway,
I always bet on black.
Anthony Falcone.
Okay.
Christmas poem, spoken. Word spoken by Clark from Kansas.
Okay.
Hi. It's called Christmas in Latveria. The stockings are hung and the cookies are made. The snow is falling as light begins to fade. Carols are heard being sung in the street by men and women lovely to meet. My wish this year is for the perfect gift. Dear Santa, please don't let me get disintegrated by a Doombot.
Wow. Well, that's very true. Wow. You know what? That last thing you want to do at Christmas time is be disintegrated by a Doombot.
Yeah. And obviously, our producer Anthony had a little bit of time in the waiting room at the ranch.
Yes.
He typed that out for us.
Chicken ranch, yeah.
All right, I have a quick one because we have a few to get through now.
Okay.
I have a quick one for my son. My son Alex.
Oh.
My son Alex is 11.
Oh, and he wrote a poem?
He wrote a poem.
Oh,
he heard about the show. Okay. I told him about the show today on the way to the hockey.
Oh,
he goes,
okay,
Dad,
okay.
I want to write a poem.
Okay.
All right. So he wrote
that's
a poem.
What most kids say.
It goes like this. It goes, Santa, you're the best. Right? It goes, Dear Santa, have you lost weight? I swear, Santa, you look great. That F on my report card. Hey, I could explain. That kid with the bleeding nose, he called my mom a bad name. And that library book? I'm just returning it late. Dear Santa, did I mention you look great? That's from Alex.
Nice. I like that. That's good.
You know,
very
I just read that and I just noticed there's not a superhero in there.
Not at all.
You know, that kid's desperate. Like that. Wow. That kid is desperate.
Yeah, he's
behind
whose
the
kid is that again?
Huh?
Whose kid is that again?
Yeah, desperate kids. Yeah, well, yeah. You know.
Good job, Alex. Anyway,
all right. Now,
glad he's got
you know
a bit,
what? Let's
bit
do,
of a creative streak.
Let's do one more poem, because okay. I think, didn't one of the Illuminati, what's his name? I can't remember his name now.
Rob Haynes.
Rob Haynes. That's
Rob
the guy, yeah.
Haynes. I'll let you read Rob's
okay,
poem.
Okay, let me see.
Rob Haynes, who owns with his wife. The Dragon in Guelph, Ontario, and they're the Eisner Award
okay.
winning store. Right?
Yes, they are. Yeah,
they're the world's best comic book store. Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
And
well,
he wrote a poem.
Well, and here it is.
He emailed it to us.
Yeah, it's
for this show.
It's a very good poem by Rob Haynes.
All right.
Read, comic bright, reading in the dark of night. Turn pages in thy bed, little floppies, piles unread. Cartoonist against the deadline race, pencil lines I can trace, secret joy of superhero stories, while you claim only indie glories. Turn to your retailer friend for wonderful stories, hope never end. O'er thy shoulder others peek to find the variants they do seek. Oh, the cunning wiles of comic grading, fear of cover, brightness fading. I say worry not of Overstreet, or that your collection be complete.
I say.
That was absolutely fantastic.
Robert, top job. Top shelf, Robert.
Top notch.
You can tell. I mean, why
he is Illuminati.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you give him the Eisner Award?
Absolutely, yeah. Clearly.
With poetry
clearly,
like that. With prose.
Yeah. Yes.
That powerful.
Prose.
Yeah.
I'm impressed you even know that word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And So, listen, Chris, I know we have very little time. And like I
we're
said, because
time,
because
yes.
Marty produced the show terribly.
He really did.
We're going to stick really him
I'm
with,
not even getting paid to be here.
No,
listen,
nobody is.
We're going to stick him with this show is podcast on comicculture.com.
Okay, you know what? What are we doing?
It's podcast on comicculture.com. And the former editor-in-chief of comicculture.com was Pete DeCourcy.
Yes.
Yes, you remember
Do you mean
Pete.
Comic Book Daily?
Come... Yes.
Oh, hold on.
Yes.
Well, let me rewind that.
Beep, beep, yeah. Beep.
So this show is podcast on comicbookdaily.com. And the former editor-in-chief is Pete DeCourcy. And Pete emailed in.
I saw that.
A
poem.
A poem. Thank you. And our producer, Marty Berthelmer, today's producer, is going to read it right now.
Awesome. Okay, Marty, go ahead.
From Pete DeCourcy.
From Pete DeCourcy.
All right, from the words of Pete DeCourcy. If Jack Kirby drew Santa, what would we see? A stoic, heroic figure with a beard, maybe. Rippling muscles commanding a fleet of rocket reindeers who breathe Kirby crackle and travel via crazy science time spheres? It would be the most interesting Santa you'd ever meet. Now, if Rob Liefeld drew him, he probably wouldn't have feet.
Oh, yeah, it's very true.
Done in 10 minutes with the help of a rhyming dictionary.
Well,
I think that was like a...
That's not part of the poem.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Minus the last line.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
But, you know, good points there. Good points there.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Peter, that was an excellent poem. Chris, I guess we have nothing left, really. Do we have music?
We do have music. Let's go to a quick musical interlude, and then we'll come back to close off the show. This is going to be The Elevator.
Nicely done, Chris. Listen, you know, you ever get you put something on paper, a concept going, and man, does that look good?
Right, absolutely,
And boy, this Christmas show on paper looked great.
Oh, come on. You know what? I can't remember in the last 4 years, this is really the official first a Christmas show. We've done other Christmas shows, but really this is the first official one where we've had a much bigger studio audience, and I got to say this has been a success, at least in my eyes.
Fair enough.
You know what? You're always hardest on yourself, Walt. Don't be so hard on yourself. It is Christmas time, and Christmas is going to be a wonderful time of the year. You have your Slava coming up in a couple days
tonight. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you. And it's going to be great. You're going to be getting a little liquored up, I'm sure.
Yes, I will. Chris, yeah. So I think what I want to end the show with, I want to thank the
studio audience. Yes.
I want to thank
our today's producer, Mr. Martin Berthelmer, who, of course, is talking about the Night of the Living Dead live. And I want everybody to come see it. When, Marty, but just before we go here, when is Night of the Living Dead Live going to be premiering?
Mid-late April through to late May.
So mid-late April. So you don't actually have a firm date.
25th is like the opening night.
25th of April. Okay, sounds good. All right.
All right, listen, I also want to thank our engineer.
Mr. Young Roebuck there.
Yeah, and Roebuck. And I also want to thank the email from Peter DeCourcy.
And Rob Haynes.
Yeah. And who else did we get an email from?
I think that was it, wasn't it? Falcone. Oh, Anthony.
Anthony Falcone, our producer, who is down in Vegas.
The guy I'm booting out. Yeah.
Producer Emeritus or whatever it's called.
And Chris, do we have that paper that explains how do we end the show?
We sure do. This is where I say that is all the time we have for today.
All right. This show is professionally produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, visit comicbookdaily.com. Click the podcast link. Scroll to the comments field. Add your comments. And today, please, add a Christmas poem. And we're also broadcast on getthepointradio.com.
And have yourself a great day.